Tonight, our political experts are back in the Showcase studio as we discuss the vice presidential debate. Then later, friend of the show, Matt Fetterman, has an event you'll want to check out. And finally, we'll once again go ghost hunting with Scott Marcus. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
It's Tuesday, October 4th. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. And yep, I watched the debate and partway through, I thought I really should have gone to the Movie Co. and joined Nick D. at his film club to see The Exorcist, because I would have rather seen someone spewing split pea than what I saw spewing the VP debate. I didn't enjoy it. Or I should have watched the Blue Jay game. But a friend of mine who's a Marine sent me a message and he said, I disagree, Patty. I feel we all have the responsibility to pay attention. And I agree. So when you're friends who are Marines tell you to pay attention, you have to feel better about that. Joining me is a regular and a friend of the show. All these guys are friends of the show. I shouldn't like separate anybody. Let's just introduce our guests tonight. Dave Lundy, who is the president of Aileron and the political analyst and expert, the better half of Touche, which is on Monday nights because your friend doesn't know what time my show is on. So he's not awake right now.
And my
anyway.
Friend is often up to do WGN television. It's 5 a.m. So I'm the late night guy with you.
Well, there you go. Exactly. We prefer that. Also joining us is a new friend of the show, Ken Jakubowski, who's a political analyst and crisis communication expert. Please, you have to go to the Clinton camp and tell Kane that there was a lot of crisis going on.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a moment. Also new to the show, and we're so thrilled to welcome a new friend, Eric Elk, who is a political strategist. Thank you so much for coming and just joining us tonight. This is exciting.
Thank you.
And Dave, I watched this alone, and I thought maybe I should have had a party.
You should have had a friend.
I should have told you to come. Did you watch it alone?
No, I watched it with my 11-year-old okay. and my father-in-law, both of whom who are asleep right now, so you can't hear me talking about them, and my wife, who is also asleep right now.
Okay, so let's talk about them instead of
yes, exactly.
the debate.
Yeah, no, my 11-year-old believed that Kane interrupted too much mm-hmm. And that he generally thought he lost the debate. I have a very smart 11-year-old. But it wasn't that big, according to the CNN poll that just came out.
So the impressions, as far as the polling goes, is that
it was
closer?
It was really close. The poll said 48-42 for Pence. And by contrast, in 2012, it was 48-44 for Paul Ryan over Joe Biden.
Interesting.
But interestingly, and I've drawn the parallel already to that debate because Joe Biden, I thought, was really obnoxious uh-huh. in 2012, but he did a great job defending his candidate, whereas Paul Ryan didn't do as great a job. And tonight, Mike Pence was really nice, and he was folksy, and he was homespun, and I was just waiting for him to pull up a little quilt and us all to sit around. But he would not defend one thing that every time Pence or Tim Kaine said that Donald Trump said this, Donald Trump said that, he would shake his head. But he never defended it.
Well, and don't you think, and Eric, I don't know if you agree, but it seemed to me like Pence wrote it off as he didn't have to. He had so many other things that he would answer other questions.
Oh, totally. I mean, it was typical. It's a good politician who goes on message on the offense trying to deliver a message that they want to get out there and totally avoid what he wants to talk about or doesn't want to talk about.
Right. And he turned it around as you guys are the ones that are insulting, don't you think, Ken?
Yeah, he never took the bait.
Never.
Trump needed to watch this
right.
to see how you handle
It'll be interesting
debates.
To see if Trump learned anything.
I doubt it. I doubt very much. But I give the debate to Pence stylistically,
mm-hmm.
but substantively, I think Kane actually did quite well. He kept hammering home the same points for effect because he knew that Pence would not defend Donald Trump. There was not one, I mean, early on, I think there were one or two softballs where he defended Trump's position.
But he defended in the broad brush. He didn't defend any of the specifics. He didn't defend any of the quotes. And at one point, Pence said, well, if Donald Trump had actually said all those things
right.
you're claiming he said.
And he did.
It's still nothing compared to what Hillary Clinton said. And where everybody's looking around going, like, of course he did.
Yeah.
America was looking around going, like, of course he did.
Well, before I whip out my Mexican thing, which was such a bizarre moment at the end.
I thought of you at that moment.
I hope everyone thought of that at that moment. It was all surreal. I wanted to talk. Let's go from the beginning. And by the way, 312-981-7200. We want to hear what you thought, whether or not you watched the debate. Are you following up and maybe watching it on the news? Are you listening to us and you want to join us anytime? We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us at 312-981-7200. So at the beginning, Kane got to go first, and he was on his home territory. He was in Virginia, right?
Yes.
So, and he started out that way. It's good to be somewhere familiar. It was icky. I don't know why. It just, none of it resonated with me.
Well, I think it was because their style. I mean, initially, Tim Kaine was, and I hate to say this, I've met Governor Kaine, Senator Kaine. He's the nicest guy in the world. Really super nice guy. Hi, Dave, I'm Tim. I'm like, yeah, I know. But I got to tell you, he was so annoying in this debate. It was making me crazy.
It was really annoying.
Yeah,
I mean,
very, very annoying. No question about it. I mean, I have great respect for everything he's done in his life. God bless him. But I could never see myself pulling the lever for him if he's at the top of the ticket. That's my view.
He did such a good job of really trying to drill home on certain line of attack that Clinton campaign is trying to go after Trump on, whether it's the taxes, a few of the foreign policy issues. He did a really good job on that. The problem is, I think it was lost on a lot of people because he kept interrupting and it became such an annoyance that that's what you were focusing on, along with the split screen. Mm-hmm. So you have that split screen and his facial remark, or the way his face was contoured and everything, it was amazing.
Are you
and it was distracting.
He was smirking?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was crazy.
He doesn't have lips, so it's hard to look like you. I hate to say that. I mean, as a political strategist, Eric, how can you advise someone to not be annoying? I mean, that's, they kind of either are or aren't, aren't they?
Well, I think Kaine definitely was the vice presidential Trump candidate for this debate.
Right.
I mean, he was so obnoxious. I think what you've got to do, though, is that it's almost as though they over-prepped him.
Yes.
I think whoever was in charge
and
of debate
prep. And Pence called him on it, too. He was like, oh, you rehearsed that well enough to get that in there.
Well, that was good because they definitely had some scripted lines.
Yes.
And Kaine was dropping them a few times.
The only problem was he dropped the same line two or three times.
Yes.
And some of those lines were really lame.
Yes.
Avalanche of insults.
Oh, God.
I thought that was a good one Pence had.
Look, I think bottom line is I think both candidates accomplished what they needed to accomplish tonight. I think that from a Democratic perspective, I think you feel better about your candidate. You feel more enthused. That's good, because that has been one of Hillary's problems, is her own base not being as enthused. That enthusiasm is starting to go up in the last week. You're seeing that in some of the poll results. On the Republican side, I think conservatives feel much better.
Yes.
At least about Mike Pence. If they really think about it, he invented a candidate tonight. I mean, everything he's basically said, this is not Donald Trump. I don't know who he was.
Well,
who he was, you know, describing most of the evening. I think both succeeded. I think it will probably temporarily stop the bleed for Trump. It'll stay right where it is, and it's all set up for Sunday night.
Right.
It's teed up.
Well, and the territory we need to talk about when we come back. One, we've talked a little bit about the impression we have of them personally. We need to talk about the substance. And also, I mean, what is it, still 20% of undecided? What does this debate have? You know, what effect will it have on those folks who are still not sure?
Zero.
I
think that, first of all, vice presidential debates usually don't have a significant impact. In 2012, you remember that Biden's debate came right after Obama had a horrible first debate, just horrible. And so the Biden debate and the Biden performance really gave a shot in the arm to that campaign. This may have a similar impact, but that didn't affect votes. At the end of the day, it comes down to the presidential debates, candidates debating. And in fact, in the focus groups that I saw tonight, even the ones where they said, oh, Kaine won or Pence won. And by the way, CNN, here's a tip for the future. If you're going to have a debate that's in the candidate's home state, don't do the focus group in the candidate's home state.
In the city in which he was mayor.
In the city in which he was mayor, in the state in which he was governor, and has been elected multiple times, never lost an election. And lo and behold, the focus group of, quote, undecided voters overwhelmingly said Tim Kaine won the debate. Oh, please.
Well, let's hear more when we come back. We've got Eric on the line, and we'll talk to him and find out what other people are thinking. 312-981-7200. We are talking about the vice presidential debate on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is political strategist Eric Elk, Dave Lundy, the president of Valeron, and the political analyst and better half of Touche, on Monday nights. Monday nights with Justin Kaufman, and also Ken Jakubowski, who has some stats he wants to share with us.
Well, this is the 10th vice presidential debate in history. In the first nine, the person who was thought to have won the debate, the vice presidential candidate mm-hmm. that won, That party went on to win the presidency 8 out of 9. The mm-hmm. only one who lost was Dan Quayle when Lloyd Benson beat him.
Wait, say that
Wait,
again?
What?
There have been nine, prior to tonight, there have been nine vice presidential debates. The person who won the vice presidential debate went on to become vice president in 8 of the 9.
Really?
Yeah, but that wasn't true. That's
he
not,
just said that.
No, because I just cited the CNN poll from 2012.
Every other poll had Biden winning that. I saw that, too. There's like six polls, and that was okay. the only one that had Ryan winning by, I think, 4 or 5 or
it
something
is,
like that.
Something coming back. I think my dinner's coming back.
So hopefully that's not...
Thanks for sharing.
No, I'm saying, if you're saying that Trump could be... If you're saying that...
Well, historically, the only one who lost was Dan Quayle, okay. Lloyd Benson...
just got a little nauseous is what I'm saying.
Now it's
catching up with you a little bit. Yeah. All right, then.
Yeah, but fortunately, these kind of stats that my buddy Ken likes to cite here are often really interesting if you can like make them fit that pattern, but don't always hold. They're not. I believe the expression is past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Especially in this election.
Especially in this election.
I don't know. These guys, it's like they prepped or something. Eric and I are like, I don't really
Wow, man.
Know.
You guys came up with the one-liners just like Kaine did. It's crazy.
Just like that.
We've been working on this since last week, Dave and I, every night. Flashcards.
You say this and I'll say this. We have Eric on the line. Hi, Eric. Thank you so much for calling. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I listened to the whole debate on the radio, and what I wished the Clinton campaign would have focused more on was they knew immigration was going to be an issue. They knew foreign policy and ISIL was going to be an issue. The amount of illegals that have been deported under the Obama administration is currently more than all of George W. Bush during his tenure. They didn't hammer on that. They also didn't talk about all the ISIL leaders and the Al-Qaeda leaders, the top leaders that have been killed and dismantled by drone strikes. They didn't hit on that. And furthermore, you know, if I have to get a background check to get a middle-class job or a blue-collar job and have a credit check done to make sure that I'm not a thief in any way, shape, or form, that I'm going to steal from, you know, a movie theater or whatever job I might have, this man, Donald Trump, should be accountable to showing the rest of the United States and the rest of the world what's in his background, you know? And I am a Hillary supporter. I was actually a Bernie supporter, but I don't think it's fair. It's not fair to the rest of us not to know what dealings he has, what he has or hasn't done, you know, and Kaine also could have said, you know, if this guy actually paid taxes for the last 18 years, and if he could prove us wrong that he's been paying taxes for the last 18 years, then, you know, this wouldn't be a story, or our veterans would have been funded, you know, if you would have paid tax.
Right. And I think, Eric, let me go to Dave Lundy. I know that you wanted to jump. Did you want to jump in there?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I don't agree with your point about immigration because it's not appealing to the base that Hillary needs to point out the fact that Obama was nicknamed the deporter in chief, although you're 100% right on the facts. But I think your larger point is very well taken, which is that, and this was one of my frustrations in the debate, because, okay, you interrupt, great, or not great at times, but your points often fell flat.
Yes.
Because you tried to compress, you know, 27 different points into 20 seconds, and it just didn't work. So I often was left wondering, which point were you trying to hit on? And so time after time, I was going like, well, you're going to nail this, right? And then it was kind of like, okay, you got a single when you should have gotten a home run, like on Russia. Should have been a grand slam. Pence set him up, and Kane just, you know, he hit a nice hit, but it wasn't great. And same with the abortion issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, the abortion issue, there is no worse example in the entire United States Congress and now governor than Mike Pence, for somebody who's an enemy of abortion rights and gay rights and everything else. And Kane just like let it go.
And for people who are wondering what that means, in Indiana, there was legislation that was passed where women who have had miscarriages need to provide proof of that they had lost a baby as a result of miscarriage and a burial, because, you know, the legality of it, making sure that it wasn't done illegally through an abortion. There's a lot of things that are, and by the way, also as far as the economy goes, when Pence referred to the economy of Indiana, sure, they have lower unemployment, but they have the highest record of people who are living in poverty. The median income has dropped in Indiana, and CEOs earn 291 times what workers earn. So those were things that Kane could have thrown at him.
Well, I think Kane was trying to throw in so much, like you say, Dave, so much in such a compressed amount of time. I mean, it was as though he was trying to prosecute each issue or line of attack against Trump in each time he could speak. And so I think folks were getting confused because he kept trying to talk over Pence, and then he was trying to shove in everything else he could, right, including the kitchen sink, and it was falling flat. I mean, right, especially when you have two dominant figures in this race.
Yes.
In some ways, this debate is going to be probably forgotten by tomorrow night.
I forgot it already.
Well, and Eric, Hillary had the exact same problem. There were many times, I thought in the first debate, where she had all sorts of facts and figures that she was trying to work her way in, and it was very disjointed, and I think it almost threw her off of her game. Towards the end, I think she loosened up and really spoke from the heart. If Trump hadn't imploded, I'm not so sure that people are looking favorably upon Hillary. I don't think she really acquitted herself that well in the first debate. I think she did maybe a B-minus simply for staying out of the way.
And smiling at him like he was a child.
And throwing a few bombs and seeing what he did with them.
Right. It's a little dance. I mean, like, that's a nice
dance. Shimmy.
Yeah.
The shimmy. Good.
We have to take a break here. I want to ask Eric, thank you so much for calling in. And we want to ask Gary and Diane to please hold on. We've got to take a break and then do news. We are talking about the vice presidential debate with Eric Elk, Dave Lundy, and Ken Jakubowski. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. Before he runs away, quick hi to Nick Summers, our favorite bartender at Howls & Hood, who is waving outside the Showcase studio. In the studio, we are talking about the VP debate that took place just a little while ago. I'm still trying to wake myself up. I did not have nearly enough caffeine, even though I drank 6 cups
Tim
of coffee.
Kaine did.
He was amped. He's like, Russia, what about you? And he said things and stuff, and you didn't. So it was a little annoying. Joining me in studio is Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron, and also a political analyst / expert. And he's the better half of Touche with Justin Kaufman on Monday nights with some other guy who doesn't know what time my show is on.
Yes, and who's asleep now, so we can make fun of him.
We also have Ken Jakubowski, who is the political analyst and crisis communication expert. Again, I think you'd probably be useful here on many occasions, so we appreciate that. Also joining us is Eric Elk, who is a political strategist, and we are thrilled to welcome him to the Showcase studio for the first time, and it won't be the last, because we've already made plans for next Monday.
Awesome. Thank you.
Very cool. And we've had some listeners who have been on the line patiently waiting. Gary, how are you doing tonight?
Me?
Yes. Hi, Gary. Yes, you first.
Hi. This is Gary from Milwaukee.
Hi, Gary from Milwaukee.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I enjoy your show. I respect all the opinions that I am hearing. I just wanted to mention that I thought what was interesting is that Mike Pence, he couldn't defend Trump's his comments about Latinos, about the Latino judge in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
He could not defend. He didn't even try to defend that remarks that he made about that. He's called women pigs. All the offensive comments he's made about them, all of this, the hateful speech. And Mike Pence goes, he says the Democrats are running a hate campaign.
Right.
It's just, but that's not true. There's some truth to that. But anybody who's watching, paying attention knows what Trump has said.
Right. What do you think?
And how can you defend that? I mean, he's called. I served with Latinos in Vietnam, And if you walk down at Fort Hood, Texas, you walk down the 1st Infantry Division headquarters, you'll see the Medal of Honor, and there's a lot of Latinos mm-hmm. who died in combat with the Medal of Honor. And they have families who are not legal.
Right. I mean, Gary, thank you, first of all, for your service. And I know that Ken wanted to respond to some of what you were saying.
Well, I agree with him. I think that anybody who's breathing and paying attention at all knows that the stuff that Pence was saying tonight was just ridiculous. I don't understand how someone could go on television, national television, in front of the entire country and basically say what we all know is not true and yet keep doing it over and over. Trump is great at it. Pence has learned.
Yes.
Pence has learned because everything, as crazy as Tim Kaine was tonight, he looked a little bit like the Joker in the original Batman movie, the Jack Nicholson, without the makeup, but he kind of had
eyebrow.
That feel.
Yeah, there was a moment where his yeah. eyebrow was twitching. Yeah.
Just put the if all they had to do was put the makeup on him and just have him act like he acted tonight, and you'd think it's the Joker. It's Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
Right.
But he, you know, every statistic that he, every quote that he had of Trump tonight, Trump said all that stuff.
Yeah.
Everything, word for word.
Including wanting to punish women if they have an abortion.
Right.
And all Pence said was, well, he's not as polished as a politician as
we are.
Which
is the lamest answer.
He wants to be
ever.
President. Is that yeah. an excuse?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. And by the way, just in response to your, how could somebody do this? In response, Gary, to your question, I have two words. Well, really a word and a number. Pence 2020.
Yes.
This tonight, mm-hmm. Mike Pence made the decision that Donald Trump was likely to lose. So either A, he becomes vice president, or B, he becomes the leading candidate of the conservative movement above Ted Cruz for the 2020 Republican nomination. So the big loser out of tonight's debate was not on the stage and was not one of the running mates. It was Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm. Eric,
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, for sure. He was setting himself up. Trump doesn't win in November. Pence is definitely well positioned to have carried the water for the elephant, and the conservative movement sets himself up well.
Well, and but for stylistically, you could say another loser was Trump, because his vice presidential nominee didn't defend, but for a couple of minor issues very early on, didn't defend anything, any of his policies or any of the statements that he made. He just try to deny him as if they were never said, and then
yeah.
moved on to attack Hillary.
So he brushed right past it.
In that sense, Pence did a very good job because he had a very difficult task. I mean, how do you defend that stuff?
Right.
You just ignore it or act like it was never said.
Or you lie.
How was Trump not calling him tonight saying, what the heck are you doing? You made me look terrible. You looked great.
Right. Let's, thank you so much for calling, Gary. I want to see what Diane wants to share with us. Hi, Diane. Thank you for waiting. Hi.
That's okay. I listened to your show for so long, and I love, love, love your show.
Oh, thank you, Donna.
You're welcome. I am a Hillary supporter, and you guys just said just about everything I wanted to say. But I do think Kaine was annoying me a little bit by his interrupting in the first half of the debate. But in the second half, Pence was and looked a little sheepish to me. And he never once responded really adequately at all to defending any of Trump's statements, which were all true. They weren't lies. They were true. We all heard them. Everybody heard
right.
them. It was as if he, and I said, you guys just said this, and it was as if he's positioning himself for a 2020 run for president, whether Trump wins or not. He's positioning himself for a 2020 presidential run. And Democrats are only responding to hate speak. Well, hey, who started the hate speak? Hello.
Right.
So that's about what I wanted to say.
Well, thank you, Diane. Are you looking forward to the debate on Sunday?
I certainly am. My husband and I both watch the first one, and we're going to watch all three, the next two, and we're definitely voting
definitely.
When it comes time in November, for sure.
Oh, I'm voting early just to make sure.
Yeah. Well, and often.
No, just early.
Just early. Okay.
Yeah, I think is it.
I don't want to do it by mail because I don't trust mail. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm definitely going to the polling place and I'm going to put my stamp on there and get it in. Wow. So
that's good to hear, Diane. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for your show.
Oh, thank you for calling in. You know what? Hold on the line and Craig's got going to get your information. We'll send you a Lou Malnati's pizza for holding up the longest.
Oh, thanks a lot, Daddy.
Of course, Diane. My pleasure. We'll talk to you soon. And so that's I want to know if there are any listeners. So far, it seems like we've heard from people who tend to have already decided who they're going to vote for. And I wonder if there are any undecided voters who had any sort of reaction to this positively or negatively to either guy. So 312-981-7200. If you're still, because we rarely ever hear from undecideds.
Well, we did that last time right after the presidential debate. We had this wonderful caller, you'll recall on the show, who said that he was a working class. He said he was the Trump target, working class, high school education. I think he was a plumber. And he said he had been leaning to Trump, but he was so put off by Trump's constant interruptions of Hillary,
right,
and of Lester Holt. And also he was surprised that Trump could not articulate anything in the debate. And so he said now he's voting for Hillary, which I was delighted by because, you know, it's one of those moments where we're all sitting there going like, well, will it have an impact?
Right.
Will it have an impact? And I thought it was going to, but, you know, I'm a partisan, so I can't be certain. And that guy gave me a lot of comfort.
We have a text. I'm sorry, Ken. Go ahead.
No, I one of the things I was disappointed in tonight was the way in which the Clinton campaign, because this was not just a Tim Kaine running off on his own decision, a campaign decision to talk about income taxes from the perspective of not paying taxes, therefore you're not contributing to the military, et cetera, et cetera.
Education, right.
Look, what he did, it's grotesque. Mm-hmm. It does raise questions about business acumen. I mean, I don't think anybody in this room, on this station, or listening anywhere in the country on this to the radio station has lost $900 million in their life.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Time out there, big fella. I personally... Oh, no, wait. No, I haven't lost $900.
Maybe in Monopoly.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think the issue of the taxes is transparency. I think that's what it says. We're all startled by it, and we're startled by it because we don't know much about this guy, and he has fought to prevent us from really learning much about him.
Right.
And he's just put everything in a lockbox, and nobody's going to find out anything at all. And, oh, well, one day he'll release his taxes, and one day he'll do this and that. So when we see this, we're like, whoa. And it's a whoa because we don't know much about this guy. And I think it's the transparency issue that is far more important than the fact that he hasn't paid income taxes.
And that was one of the silliest lies of all tonight, mm-hmm. is when Kaine said, well, you know, he broke his promise to release his tax return. And Pence is going, no, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. We're like, yes, he has.
Well, and to say that, you know, you didn't give your fair share to education and military is trying to show that he's wealthy and the working class is doing their part. Because Pence said, well, tell me you don't take all your deductions. Well, we all want to do our best on the taxes. Most of the time I sign it and go, well, I hope I don't go to jail this year. We have a listener who has texted us saying, great panel tonight. Thanks, Patty and team. So more with our guests when we come back. We are hanging out with Eric Elk, Ken Jakubowski, and Dave Lundy. More on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Not enough time for music because there's still so much to cover, and we've almost got midnight. I have another guest coming in, and I don't know if he wants to talk about the VP debate. We have Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron.
Yes.
Is it communications?
It is.
All right, then. Aileron Communications. I want to get the whole title correct.
You got it exactly right.
He's also a political analyst slash expert. That's why I have it written down. Slash
I am expert. A slash expert, both forward slash and backslashes.
He is the better half of Touche every Monday night with Paul Roebling and on Justin Kaufman. Is that his name?
Chris?
Oh, I don't know. He doesn't know what time my show is. I'm not going to get his name right. Maybe Chris Roebling. I said it, Paul. You didn't correct me last time, which I thought was.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
All right then, Ken Jakubowski, who is also a political expert and a crisis communications analyst, expert, all those things. I just feel like I'm throwing words around at this point. Eric Elk, who is a political strategist, and we have a texter who wanted to join the conversation as well. Oh, I don't know where I put that. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hold on one second.
It was a long one. There was here's the thing. We have another debate coming up on Sunday between the top of the tickets, right? And do we know it's going to be the town hall style, right, where they can walk around?
Yeah. Yes.
Did either one of them do you feel like Pence? Well, I do. But do you think that Kaine promoted Hillary Clinton's agenda, whatever her platform is, all of the ideals, what it means to be the first, you know, to want to be the president of the United States, what her goals are.
No, I think that what Cain did effectively was to raise questions about Trump, to promote some of the key Clinton campaign messages on the taxes and on Russia and on his instability. Although I got to tell you, when Cain quoted the speech from Ronald Reagan saying that you know, the problem with nuclear proliferation is that someday you're going to have somebody come along who is a maniac. And he said that person is, he basically said that the maniac is Donald Trump. Now, I may think that the maniac is Donald Trump, but I'm not running for vice president, and I sure as heck would never say that on national television. I'll bet you that one's going to bite. And I wonder, that may have been baiting Trump, that was just over the top.
Get it out there into the stream and see how he reacts.
I think that's probably the idea.
Here was one of the things before we go to the break. We have Clinton. This is a texter from the 502. Clinton, Bush Jr., and Obama administrations have had this country involved in military conflicts since the mid-90s. Somalia, Bosnia, Serbia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya. This is breaking our country morally and financially. And he's heard that Trump has, have heard Trump say that the empire building needs to stop. Also, men and women voting for Trump Pence. I'm not sure what that part meant. But does that ring...
I think what you heard tonight was more of the same with gusto from Trump. I mean, it was an extreme, you know, it's a very, his foreign policy positions are very militaristic. So where Hillary's are significantly less so.
Well, and look, there's a reason that the entire foreign policy establishment, with the exception of like two Republicans, have endorsed Hillary Clinton or have spoken out against Donald Trump. He's a maniac.
Right. Eric, when we come back, I'll let you get a chance to get a word in. I'm sorry. I'm like, we just keep going back and forth. And you're like, where do I jump in? You can jump in. Cain did. More after this. I'm not like that. More on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I kind of love that I have a show that... when we're having a conversation, people just hang around because I tell them they can, and I mean it. And we have in studio with us Eric Elk, who is a political strategist, Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications, and he is the better half of Touche every Monday night with Justin Kaufman, Ken Jakubowski, who is a crisis communications expert and also a political analyst. And joining us now is Matt Fetterman, who is a musician, alderman of Highwood, and here to talk about the Highwood Pumpkin Fest, which is like the biggest one in the country. Let's just go ahead and say that, even though I'm not sure.
Well, I will take your advice that it is the biggest one in the country. I can't
guarantee it. It's massive.
It's massive. It is massive.
If you go to YouTube and put in a Highwood Pumpkin Fest, they'll do like the time lapse of setting up the scaffolding and lining the street. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's pretty crazy. The entire city of Highwood turns into kind of pumpkin carving mania. We line the streets with scaffolding, two floors tall in some areas. Each night we shut off all the street lights and light them all up. There's lots of live music and petting zoo and hay rides and carnival rides. It's insane. This tiny little 1 square mile town just becomes pumpkinified, if you will. It's pretty impressive.
Well, this Highwood, and you were asking Ken because you were not familiar with Highwood, Illinois. It is an interesting. What was the former name? Whiskey.
Yeah, it was an old nickname for it in the early 20th century. Was called Whiskey Junction. Train drivers or train conductors would kind of pull into town on the way through up to Lake Forest and north, and just next stop, Whiskey Junction.
Which intersection was Whiskey Junction? Because I ride my bike up there all the time at night, and I just want to make sure I'm getting it right.
With no specific intersection, the whole town was kind of referred to that back when Fort Sheridan kind of first popped up there. Teddy Roosevelt, then president, kind of said, called Highwood the toughest town in America.
Look at that.
Most bars per capita for quite a few years.
So. And the restaurants, why are there so many great restaurants, just block after block?
It's because the way the town was kind of set up was kind of just a blue-collar town that popped up as a nightlife thing around the Army base, Fort Sheridan Army base. And over the years, the estates of Lake Forest and Highland Park, as they got divvied up into subdivisions, it just kind of suburbs popped up around this town that's been there for a really long time. And, you know, when a lot of Italians immigrated over from Italy, they just kind of all said, hey, this is what we do, and we're going to make great food. And they all took their mom's recipes from overseas and and open restaurants.
It's spectacular.
Yeah. So I've never been to Highwood.
Okay.
But I'm going.
Now yes.
I'm going to take I have a 6.5-year old daughter. She'll love this. So where do I go? Where is like the key point that I should go and start, I guess, just walking everywhere?
That's the beautiful part about it. Whether you're taking the train or whether you're driving, it's insanely easy to get to. Highwood, like I said, is one square mile. So if you're taking the train, take it to the Highwood stop. It's the Union Pacific North line, either from Chicago or from even come down from Kenosha. And literally, the train doors open and you're in the middle of the festival.
Mm-hmm.
You can't miss it.
Pumpkin World, right there.
And when is the festival? Because actually, Ken, I'm thinking maybe you and I should sojourn up to Highwood this weekend because my kids would love this.
Come on Sunday. Yeah, they have absolutely. The dog costume contest.
They have a dog costume contest, yes. And a kids costume.
What time on Sunday?
I don't know the exact times of those. If you go to HighwoodPumpkinFest.com, that's HighwoodPumpkinFest.com, you can get all the times for the music schedule, when the pet costume contest is. There's a kids costume contest. There's an adult costume contest. Not that kind of adult costume, by the way. It's a family event.
I haven't decided what I'm wearing on Sunday. I assume I should probably wear a costume hosting.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I mean,
I have so many costumes.
You went to that Comic-Con thing on your Facebook page. You looked like you had some good ones.
I own a lot of costumes, both adult and fun.
But yeah, so the event is this weekend. It's this Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. And it's all day Saturday, all day Sunday, I should say. Each night we light the wall up. On Friday night, the wall lighting is at 7:45, 8 o'clock on Saturday night, and 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. And this year, in the past, we've always gone for the Guinness Book of World Records for the most lit jack-o'-lanterns.
Have you guys done in that competition?
Well, in 2011, we unofficially had 32,000 lit jack-o'-lanterns in the city of Highwood at one time. Sadly, Guinness was not there to officially name us the crown.
Rigged! It's rigged!
So the next year, we got them involved with HGTV, came and did a TV show about us, about the city of Highwood, in competition with Keene, New Hampshire, both competing for the title. Sadly, we had a lot of wind that year, and Keene beat us. So ever since we decided, you know what, it's fun to do that, but wouldn't it be great if we could raise money for good causes instead? So for the past few years, it's been a charity event, and this year's charity is the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
And the pet costume contest is at 2 p.m., by the way.
It is 2 p.m., thank you.
On Saturday?
Yes, on Sunday. Sunday, I apologize.
Sunday, okay.
2 p.m. on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'll be co-hosting that with a regular and friend of the show, Dr. Charles Turk.
The pet costume?
I'll be hosting that, yes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So come see us on Sunday. Sunday. Yeah. And there's carnival rides. By the way, Esmeralda joined me when we went to the Bloody Mary Fest. And also what was the other one we did?
The Garlic Fest.
We were there for... It's crazy the amount of fests that they have.
Garlic Fest?
Yes.
How did I grow up in Wilmette and not know you had Garlic Fest?
It's a relatively new thing. This whole thing kind of developed over the last 5-6 years as new families were moving to town and really wanted to take the idea of, hey, this has always been a nightlife town, but it's also a great family town. And how do we do that? Let's do some really fun family-oriented events.
I have a suggestion. Two words. Chocolate Fest.
It's in the works.
Oh, yes!
Can we do Chocolate and Wine?
Chocolate and Wine Fest would be really fun. We used to have a beer festival, but unfortunately it's gone by the wayside for the time being.
Oh, fine then. Let's go Chocolate and...
Chocolate and Wine sounds like a lot
of
fun.
You have a great joint called The Art of Beer, and those guys they're masters. I mean, I've never had anyone mix like different...
It's crazy.
Beers for me, and I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about that is they kind of jumped on the craft beer bandwagon early, and they started off as this little tiny bottle shop next to a bakery in town, and recently, about a year and a half ago, expanded into a much larger space, and they've got 30 beers on draft, 40 beers on draft, like they try different kinds of beers, and they mix and match them, and it's pretty crazy.
It's just a beer joint. Wow. It's just a beer joint. Like, you can have pretzels and beer, and that's it.
I think they have, one wine.
Maybe.
I think.
Maybe, just for that person. I'm kidding.
Exactly.
It's fine to be that person. And water. I'm sure they'll give you water and soda. We are hanging out with our friends Dave Lundy, Ken Jakubowski, Eric Elk, and Matt Fetterman. Coming up in a little while, we have Scott Marcus. Maybe he can tell us if there's any hauntings in Highwood. He's a ghost hunter and also a filmmaker. More after that. Are you going to want to play for us when we come back?
Yeah, sure.
Are you playing live this weekend?
I am. I'm headlining the Saturday night at Highwood Pumpkin Fest at 8 o'clock.
Wonderful. So we'll hear some music as well when we come back in just a few moments on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and we were thrilled to welcome our guests. We're hanging out, just talking everything. We talked about the VP debate. We did a little bit of a wrap-up with Dave Lundy, Ken Jakubowski. See, I did it well all night, and I tried to. I got all confident. Ken Jakubowski and Eric Elk, and joining us now is also Matt Fetterman, who is an alderman in Highwood. and has performed on our show before, and we are thrilled to have him back to sing one of his songs. The video drops for this on Thursday. And he'll be headlining at Pumpkin Fest this Saturday at 8 o'clock. Right there in the middle of all the excitement, here he is playing Life in Whiskey Junction.
I met her with a frown upon my face, with an ego bruised and yearning for escape. I must admit her smile lit up my day, but I felt magic when her soul with each embrace. So I grabbed her hand as tightly as I could. Things seem so much easier than they should. So down on a knee I said, please be my wife. Well, I don't have much, let's make a beautiful life. And let's fill a home with hopes and dreams, plus two tiny hands, 10 little toes, and a mortgage that seemed free. Our gilded future had begun. Welcome to life in say working for yourself makes you a man. Odd hours, not at home, and broken plans. It's so easy to feel trapped in the rat race. When you're the rat chasing its tail, just trying to save face. And there are times when you have to choose between what you think is right while risking another bruise on your love. Don't follow the setting sun, it sets over Whiskey Junction. The blame on someone else, not keeping a fair share for yourself. I say if you love someone, you gotta let them go. And I've spent 14 years now trying not to know. Just thinking about who cast that first stone, and just how far apart our love had grown. When time seems like something you can't waste, well, don't get your memories from photographs of some past time and place. Just keep your head up and in the game, or you'll watch your whole life wave goodbye on the next outbound train. Out of I guess that's just life in Whiskey Junction.
Woo! That's Matt Fetterman with Life in Whiskey Junction. The video will be available on Thursday. How do people find that video?
YouTube and Vimeo, or you can go to mattfmusic.com. It'll be posted there.
I like that. Matt F. Music.
Yeah, make it easy. Nice and easy.
And we've been talking about the Highwood Pumpkin Festival. You can just Google it and find out all the information, or you can go to, let me see what website I'm on right now. What website?
Highwoodpumpkinfest.com.
That's easy to remember. And that is the third, is it the, wait, what's the whole schedule? Is it really from the 3rd through the 9th? Or is that just all the setup and stuff?
Oh, that's all the setup and stuff. If you happen to be in the area, pumpkin.
There's a prelude.
Pumpkin carving started early this week, and so we've got all these gorgeous lights out and scaffoldings up, and people are carving out on the front hall of, or front lawn of City Hall.
Oh, right. Yeah, so they're trying to break their world record. And on Thursday, the carnival begins at 5 o'clock. And you can go to the website again, highwoodpumpkinfestival.com, for absolutely all that information. Very cool. Yeah, how long? I mean, you guys probably start planning the minute you tear this down.
Yes.
For next year.
Yes, pretty much. The meetings, we usually try to take a week off, maybe two, and then to recover. And then the meetings start. Okay, we got less than a year. We got to figure this thing out.
Yeah, and you were asking about coming in this week too, and I wanted to make sure you came in earlier rather than as the days get longer with being involved with all the planning.
Yeah, that was very helpful to let me come in earlier, because each day we get closer and closer, it gets busier and busier, and more going on, and then you spend 3 days, you know, covered in pumpkin guts. I mean, there was one year literally I jumped off the scaffolding. I think it was 2012. I was at the top of the scaffolding putting pumpkins up, guts all over me. Look at the time, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to be on stage in 30 minutes.
Right, right.
So I'm racing across trying to get clothes off, and it was get stage clothes on, and it was.
It's one of those things where you're like, it's now or never. Got to get, just no matter what just happened. Yeah. What happened to the pumpkins? I'm just curious. Can you tell us what happens to the pumpkins?
When they're done?
Do you guys use like the innards? Like, does anyone take in the seeds?
A lot of people take them every year. And more every year, I'm seeing more people come with bags and
take
leave
pumpkins.
It with bags and taking
right.
the seeds home with them. At the end of the festival, we have a crew that kind of cleans up. The pumpkins that are still in decent shape, I believe they go off to farms throughout the Midwest, throughout Illinois, for feed for some of the pigs.
Oh, great.
And stuff like that. Some of them that have been, you know, damaged by candle wax, things like that aren't edible, they get thrown away. But
right.
by and large, we try to recycle as much as possible.
Take some for decoration. Because the great
absolutely.
Thing the great thing about Halloween, about the jack-o'-lanterns, is they're great for Halloween, and then on November 1st, you turn them around, and it's just autumnal. It's for Thanksgiving.
There you go. And the cool part is so many people don't realize it. They can come to the event, carve their pumpkin, and then take it home on Sunday night at
right.
the end of the event. And, you know, we've got, it's $3 a day to get, $3 a day to get into the event. There's a weekend pass, which I believe for all 3 days is $5 $5 for the whole weekend. So if you wanted to come all the days.
All the days.
And there's always something fun to do.
I feel like our political analysts are looking at numbers. What are you guys, you're all like looking at.
Unless you get my phone out.
I know. What are we discovering in the half hour since we last talked about the debate?
Analysis.
Well, yeah. Matt, do you mind if we turn to a little bit of the VP
Bring
debate
Bring
analysis?
It. I'd love to hear about
yes.
it.
Yes, what's happening, Dave Lundin?
Yeah, well, I think there's a consensus. Basically, what everybody else is saying out in the universe is what we've been saying
is
inside
Kane
the
lost.
Studio, which is that, you know, Kane kind of lost. Pence was smooth and won, you know, setting himself up for 2020 or 2024. And that people are kind of weirded out by the fact that Donald Trump was upset or may have been upset by the fact that his vice presidential candidate did better than he did.
Right. He looked much more president. He just looked presidential.
He did. He did. And I had a lot of Republican friends who were doing the, you know, tweeting and Facebooking saying, oh, if only the ticket were reversed. And I'm like, okay, if the ticket were reversed and you guys actually had nominated a right-wing fascist, anti-gay, anti-woman, anti-choice, trust me, you would still be getting the crap kicked out of you and probably losing worse.
And margin.
Sorry, can I say crap on the air?
Absolutely.
It's midnight, so I
encourage
can do
it,
that,
as
right?
a matter of fact.
By
okay.
margin, 29-18, the voters who or folks who watched are more inclined to vote for Hillary.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Where did that come from?
Off the CNN poll.
Wait, oh. What's it, what did it say?
29-18 of voters who watched are more likely to vote for Hillary.
And that's in a poll that found that Pence won.
Correct.
Huh.
Very interesting.
And that would explain.
And that would back up what we've been talking about,
yeah.
which is that Pence was smoother and did a great job, but he didn't defend Trump. And Kane, while obnoxious as all get out, got his points across.
So it goes back to the point that it really didn't move the needle at all, either one way
right.
or the other.
No, and they almost never do. But I think your point, Eric, earlier tonight, I think by tomorrow night, I think people are going to forget most of what happened tonight, except for the fact, and it's glaring and it's hanging out there, that Pence not once on anything of real substance defended Donald Trump. And
he
of
deflected.
Course,
it was,
but he always said he would be happy. He said he's proud to defend Donald Trump.
And then he just
then
talked
just
about something
it.
Else.
Oh, right.
Exactly. It was.
He almost
it was,
did once. It was about
it was
three quarters of the way through the debate. He went, well, I'm ahead. And then he stopped, and then he went right after Hillary again. I was,
right.
I thought, okay,
well,
I thought that was going to be the one where he was going to do it.
You could tell, I mean, the attitude about it was, there you go with that. Oh, there's, you whipped out that Mexican thing again. It was,
well, the Mexican thing, and then he said, and he did something that I was begging Hillary Clinton to do. I really wanted Hillary Clinton during the first debate to, at a certain point when Trump kept lying about her, finally say, you know, as Ronald Reagan used to say, there you go again.
Oh, boy.
And Darn it, Pence did that tonight.
What were you going to say, Eric?
I got a more important question, I guess.
Yes.
Are there adult beverages served?
There are plenty of adult beverages served.
Oh, this town
at the
is not
Festival.
Messing around. Well, Tito's handmade vodka will be also a part of the event.
Absolutely. We've got beer tents.
I'm in.
Yeah. I'm guessing Toadstool is going to have some cocktails available as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's going to. Oh, yes. No, this town does cocktails unbelievable. When we did the Bloody Mary Fest, the creations are. Just astounding. They're artists there when it comes to cocktails
awesome.
And food.
Love
yeah.
it.
More on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications. We also have Ken Jakubowski, who is a crisis communications expert, and I could probably use him in here more often than he's available. He's also a political analyst. We've been talking about the VP debate wrap-up. We also have Matt Fetterman, who is an alderman up in Highwood, and we've been chatting about the Pumpkin Fest that starts officially on Thursday, but they have the prelude all week long, and you can go hang out with us. I'll be there on Sunday for the pet costume at 2 o'clock. Matt is headlining on Saturday at 8 o'clock. Also joining us now is Scott Marcus, who has not been here for a while. He's a filmmaker, a ghost hunter. We actually went all over the building, all of the Trip Tower, looking for ghosts. That was so much fun.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago.
I know. We need to do it again. How long are you in town for?
Just another couple, maybe 2.5 weeks.
Okay. And you have a conference this weekend?
Yeah, the Chicago. It's the Dark Shores Paranormal. It's the Chicago Ghost Conference. We'll shorthand it. Is coming up this coming weekend down on Archer Avenue.
Okay.
Stomping grounds of Resurrection Mary.
Ooh.
Chicago's most famous ghost story. And we're actually holding, this is so exciting, we're holding the event in the Willowbrook Ballroom where people have reported to have had nights of dancing with this specter, not knowing that they were dancing with a ghost until the car ride home when she vanishes from the passenger seat.
Right. Are you guys all familiar in the studio? You guys were familiar with Resurrection Mary?
No.
Really?
I am not.
Nope.
No.
Not me.
It's the Willowbrook Ballroom.
Yes. Yeah. On Archer Avenue in Justice, Illinois. And it goes back to, I think, the 30s or so when people began to see this dance hall specter that is also hitchhiking alongside Archer Avenue. People have had all sorts of encounters with her. Actually, I talked about her on the show a couple of years ago where people have also seen her just materialize in the road in front of them as they're traveling down Archer Avenue. They hit the brakes too late. They make contact. Sometimes she vanishes on impact. Other times people have the whole horrifying experience of really thinking that they hit someone as there's a crumpled body on the ground. Ooh, and in the most extreme case, she hasn't vanished until paramedics were on scene and went to take her pulse.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
So have paramedics seen her?
Yeah. And it's also right across the main gates to Resurrection Cemetery or across the street from Chet's Melody Lounge. And it's not uncommon for somebody, you know, late at night, that's the only place that's still open, to have a panicky motorist come running in. I just hit somebody. And the bartender's just like, well, check, you know.
Sure you did, pal. Have a drink.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. I want to know if any of our listeners have encountered Resurrection Mary on Archer Avenue.
Yeah. That'd be great.
312-981-7200. I've heard it's often drivers who are lost and kind of, you know, disoriented.
Well, there's a lot of vanishing hitchhiker stories. There are a lot of just roadside hauntings. And part of that reason, you know, why do people see ghosts very frequently while they're driving? And that is because we are kind of ready for anything when we're behind the wheel. If we're just hanging out at home or at the office, at normal places where we know where everything is, we're a little bit more comfortable and within ourselves. But when we're on the road, we're open.
Right, your attention is outside of yourself. Interesting.
Yeah. It's fun to get into the philosophy of all this, you know?
Yeah. Now, Ken, were you... Because I know Matt was wondering whether his place is haunted. And
I have my concerns or my quandaries if it is.
In what way does it manifest?
Every time I sacrifice an animal.
No, it's just, it's funny. It just footsteps in the hallway. We have creaky floorboards in our kind of entryway. And, you know, at middle of the night, just out of nowhere, the floorboards start creaking. It's kind of odd. And then we have weird, odd temperature changes in different areas of the house. And it could be the middle of the summertime and, like, all of a sudden it's freezing, or wintertime and it's freezing and hot. And it's kind of weird. Little areas. So.
Yeah, pockets of it.
Pockets of it, yes, thank you.
When you feel, especially cold spots, do you feel kind of a bit of a charge in the air too, or no?
A little bit, I guess. I've never really, maybe I'm not that attuned to it or didn't know what to look for, but it's...
You know, I experience that a lot biking. you know, where you kind of have that, all of a sudden you go through this thermal climb, you suddenly go into this like fog patch, and you do kind of feel this weird.
It feels like you're riding through a vent.
It does,
the exhaust from someone's dryer. but you're in the middle of nowhere, right?
Except it's a cold vent.
Oh, it's cold. It's always cold?
Usually.
Oh, interesting.
Well, that's good, because usually if people are talking about a hot spot, they're talking about kind of demonic activity. So a cold spot is actually good news in this case.
Awesome!
We're good then.
It's just somebody.
I feel so much better that I'm not surrounded by demonic energy.
See? At least. I'm glad we cleared that up.
We're not talking about here. We're talking about, you know, out there.
Yeah.
Well, with a 6.5-year-old, I can guarantee you when I play her, she'll want to hear the show tonight. Tomorrow, she's not going to hear this part.
No.
Oh, no.
I'm already having issues with, you know, like last night she was up. So middle of the night, 3 a.m, I'm walking her through every room in the house with the flashlight, showing her there are no ghosts. Everything's safe. Went under her bed.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, boy.
This would not be a good conversation for her to hear.
I just picture the Hollywood version of it where we then snap to her point of view is there's a hanging corpse right behind her. See, nothing's here.
Exactly.
Well, because children are more in tune, by the way. So you might
just
be
dead people.
Yes.
You might be dismissing her concerns. I'll look at Dad. Dad's like, Ken's like, no, I don't want to address this. Myrna wants to join the conversation. Hi, Myrna. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Very well. Hey. What do you want to share with us?
I was calling about the Resurrection Mary topic. I've never had an experience with her, but some years ago, took a tour with the late Richard Crow, and we were all on the bus. We were getting ready to leave Resurrection Cemetery, and he's telling us a story about it. And he told us about the mausoleum having issues also. People were reporting lights going on and off during the night when no one should be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And getting ready to exit the cemetery, the mausoleum lights came on, and no one was supposed to be in there. And he I think he freaked out more than me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he wasn't expecting it. He's like, oh, my God, that's the first that's happened to me while I'm here.
That's neat.
And we thought he was joking, but he was actually serious about it. And we're like, well, you know, now you're experiencing what we're experiencing all together. So we didn't see her, but we saw the mausoleum lights come on.
There you go. I mean, Richard was one of the first people to chronicle a lot of these, at the time, just folklore. He put it all in one place. He was a hell of a resource. And he himself, who has passed on, he is now buried at Resurrection Cemetery, since that story was so intimate to him.
Really?
Yeah, it's very neat. And actually, people have done some investigating to see if Richard...
I was going to say.
...wants to say hi. And I believe it was Ursula Bielski, the woman who's putting on this show. I don't know. I think it was her. If it wasn't, she displayed it. She got a really interesting phantom voice talking back to her on a recording, which I don't know if that's available online anywhere, but if you can make it down to the ghost conference, I'm sure.
Yeah. Myrna, do you ever have any other sort of encounters that seemed a little bit spooky other than the mausoleum at Resurrection Cemetery?
My house. My late mom was psychic, but she never admitted to it, and I picked it up from her, but since she passed away, I don't use the ability as much as she did, but when we bought the house that I'm now in, the former owner passed away in the bedroom upstairs, and he used to come and visit quite a bit. And he would, he was a real nice guy, though. He was an older gentleman. I didn't know what he looked like or anything, and one day I asked a neighbor, I described the gentleman to him. And he goes, I thought you didn't meet him. He died before you bought the house. And I was like, what am I talking about? And he said, that was Mr. Adams, the previous owner. He's the one that died in the bedroom.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I love how casual Myrna is about it. She's like, oh, yeah. You know, my mom and I, you know, psychic and the dead former owners hang out.
No. The funny thing, Patty, was I moved in before my parents did because I wanted to paint the basement and stuff. And every time I was here by myself, I could feel him behind me. But he was like a warm, like a fatherly type feeling.
That's good.
Like someone was protecting me. That's why. It was never an evil, cold spot or anything like that. It was always a warm feeling when he was here.
That's great.
I think he was just coming back to check to see if we were taking care of his house.
Yeah, and so. Times of transition, there can be a lot more activity, whether it's, you know, like you guys were moving into a house. Even a place that has long been haunted, it can really calm down and be settled, but somebody new moves in, or renovations, painting a room, that can kind of make things a bit more active. But it's so great that he apparently liked the paint job you were doing, if he was still a warm presence.
Yeah, he did.
Well, make sure you visit Scott's website, which is whatsyourghoststory.com, which is a community for paranormal discussion.
Exactly. And we just posted today the video of our snooping around here at the tower a couple of years ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, Craig was on that. We were also with Mark Valley from Boston Legal and a bunch of other shows that you might recognize.
Cool. It was a very fun time. Just to be able to explore this incredible, iconic building was so fun.
Well, we might get some permission to do it again.
I'm okay with that.
All right.
Did you feel anything?
We had a little tiny bit of activity in the
editorial
kind of boardroom.
We were in the editorial boardroom, you know?
Yeah, that was Colonel McCormick rolling over in his grave. Yeah.
It was way before they endorsed Obama. Johnson. Oh,
no,
Obama.
Because they endorsed Obama twice. And we've always said that Colonel McCormick was rolling over in his grave because of that.
That was where we had the most activity. Myrna, have a wonderful evening, and we look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And the conference this weekend is where?
It's down at the Willowbrook Ballroom. You can go to chicagohauntings.com to find out a bit more information. And by the way, if you want to have a great full weekend, we have the event. It's Friday and Saturday. And it's not Sunday, so we can still go to Highland Park and enjoy the Pumpkin Festival.
Highwood Pumpkin Fest. Go get haunted, and then come up to the Pumpkin Fest and carve some pumpkins.
Go west, then go northwest.
Get the whole Chicagoland experience. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Is Resurrection Mary invited to the conference?
Always.
She's the type that she doesn't really make her plans known. She just kind of shows up.
So. Do you actually think she might?
Well, I'll tell you, one of my first ever paranormal experiences was at the Willowbrook Ballroom back in 1999. I was with some friends. We did this like really amateur, just for fun. We're 18-year-old kids doing this documentary on Chicago ghost stories. We go down to the Willowbrook Ballroom, and of course, we didn't call ahead. We weren't professionals yet. They were closed, so we couldn't go in. We couldn't interview people. The one thing we could do was just kind of walk around the property and look into these big plate glass windows that face Archer Avenue. And I walked up to it, and I cupped my hands over my eyes to look in through the glass, and I saw movement inside the room, and I absolutely froze. My blood turned cold. Then I realized that it's a dance hall. I was looking across a vast open room to floor-to-ceiling mirrors on the other side at my own reflection.
There you go. Now that's great.
That is the thing, yes.
And then, as I relax, I turned to my two friends that were right in front of me now to tell them how I literally just got frightened of my own reflection, and at that moment, two loud knocks on the window right next to my head.
Oh.
I jumped. If there was a ceiling over me, I would have hit my head on it because I jumped so high.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I mean, I can't say it was Mary, but something was there and said, yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, I've spooked the bejesus out of myself with a mirror. Same thing. Sure. I was in an empty hotel with comedian Tim Harrison, and it has, there were stories of other comics like ending up in their car sleeping the rest of the night because they were woken up by a little girl who wanted to play.
Wow.
And like a comic would go downstairs and say, hey, this little girl's in my room. I don't know, who she's with. And they're like, there aren't any kids staying in the hotel. More after this on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Share your stories. And we have a text to read too when we come back. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me from our VP debate discussion are Ken Jakubowski and Dave Lundy. We also have Matt Fetterman. We've been hanging out talking about the Highwood Pumpkin Fest, which starts officially on Thursday, but there's a prelude going on all week. So if you want to drive through and see what folks are up to, putting up the scaffolding, lining the streets with thousands upon thousands of pumpkins.
And carving has begun.
The carving has begun.
We need carving help.
And joining us as well is Scott Marcus, filmmaker and ghost hunter. You can go to his website, whatsyourghoststory.com. This Friday and Saturday, he'll be at the Ghost Conference at the Willowbrook Ballroom up there on Archer Avenue. We have some texts. We have one texter who said they have seen two ghosts while driving. Embarrassing thing, and I don't think I've heard this, and maybe I'm guessing you have. The embarrassing thing was that they were animals.
Oh, sure.
They said that they saw a Canadian goose walk in front of the car, or a Canada goose. Can they be Canadian goose?
I think. Yeah. It depends on their papers, but yeah.
Right. Depends on. Walk in front of the car at an intersection and simply vanish.
Wow.
Saw a cow at night walk out of a pasture, slammed on the brakes, and was sure the oncoming car would hit it, but then the cow vanished into the car.
Wow. Like, in Lake McHenry County area, Cuba Road is a hugely haunted area, and people have seen entire herds of cattle.
Just disappear?
Yeah.
Appear and disappear.
Phantom cow. There's also an equestrian and rider. Mm-hmm. So, phantom animals do happen.
Well, you would imagine, if we leave.
I've never seen or heard about a goose, though. That's kind of cool. That's new.
Yes, Ken?
Well, I'm just, is there something unique to people who see
Well, that's what this texter says as well. I sense ghosts often, and sometimes they get ideas across, but I tend to ignore it because I want to keep my sanity. Do you find that people also want to block it? And
absolutely. I mean, for a whole variety of reasons, you know, like maybe they feel that there's some conflict with their, you know, religious upbringing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know. It's all to the individual, of course. But I do feel that the majority of hauntings, you know, maybe 60% or so, are parts of biology, parts of science that we just don't yet know what it is. So mm-hmm. therefore, it's paranormal.
Well, and I have a friend who's a physicist, and you would think that scientists don't believe in that kind of stuff. And one of the things that my son has posited is that, you know, the idea that energy cannot be created nor destroyed.
Sure.
And my friend who's a physicist said, well, that there's something to that. They have measured the weight of a body right before someone passes and after, and there is a measurable difference, and it's not accounted for.
21 grams, yeah.
Wait, so is that the thing? Is it 21 grams is what the weight of a soul is supposed to
apparently
possibly...
I mean, that's
look at you guys.
They're putting a movie by that name? Because that'd be a really good name for a movie.
21 grams?
21 grams.
That's exactly what it is, and that's the title, yeah.
Is there a movie called... I haven't...
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's on it. He's Hollywood-minded right there.
I thought that was what...
Second time tonight.
I thought that was what Trump was doing last week before the debate. Come on, come on.
And maybe Tim Kaine tonight, too.
Was he sniffling, too?
Well, no, he didn't sniffle.
He was amped.
He was very amped. Either that or a long stay at Starbucks before tonight.
I know I had too much. You can tell I'm like tripping over. I was so excited about my joke, I tripped all over it. We also have another texter that asks if young kids see ghosts easier than adults.
100%, yes. They haven't been trained to think that that's ridiculous until the dad comes and says nothing like that is it possible.
I just wanted to go back to sleep. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, no, there's nothing. If I had seen an entire football team of ghosts, I wouldn't have said a thing.
Yeah.
No ghosts.
Hey, we'll figure it out in the morning. Yeah. But yeah, no, there's absolute truth to that. I mean, from, you know, before even having the ability to verbalize it, we see children kind of reacting or playing with phantom. Who knows what's there?
Right.
And so it might be interesting if you have the guts to try it. If you see your toddler or young one apparently playing with something that's not there, take a picture and see if something comes out on the photograph.
And I think the kids are more likely, and I only say this because I think I the out of body experience, the mostly like kids who are sick or feeling ill, they've said that they can hover above their body.
Mm-hmm.
And you've heard stories about that?
Absolutely. It's soul traveling is something that we all apparently are able to do. I've never done it, but
focus, Scott.
Yeah,
I mean, is that the same as astral projecting?
In a way, yes. It's in the same ballpark for sure. There's a great story comes out of Grays Lake, Illinois, where this woman would see this man kind of holding, bracing himself by the door frame and leaning into her bedroom, kind of looking around the room. And this house was already known to be haunted. So as freaky as that is, it was kind of par for the course for the house. Until one day, more scary, she saw that same exact person in total physical form leaning into the front door of the house doing that. This guy was a former tenant who was in the middle of a lawsuit with the property owner. And so he himself was just probably going to sleep or in his dream state, so focused on this property, he was kind of soul traveling there. And, you know, probably he himself wasn't aware of it.
Now I'm freaked. I was doing good until that.
That one freaked you out.
Rejection.
Yeah. There's some good ones. I went down to Waverly. I've been to the sanatorium.
Oh, my gosh. Nice.
Have I told you I went down to Louisville?
No, we haven't talked about that
the
yet.
The death chute? Oh, it's wild.
I haven't even visited. So you've been to a place that I haven't.
Oh,
nice.
The thing was, we'll talk about when we come back, but my husband said, you know, even if there had been any ghosts, we would never have heard them over your talking. So we'll talk a little bit about that. 312-981-7200. I think we've got all our topics for the rest of the show. The VP debate,
nice.
VP debate, your ghost stories, the Highwood Pumpkin Festival. Give us a call about any of those things. Tell us what you're planning to do with your pumpkins this season. Do you paint them? Do you carve them? Do you have any ghost stories? And what did you think of the VP debate? I still have some texts about the debate, so we'll come back after the news and talk about that. And Esmeralda, I feel like I haven't said hello to you at all. And you and Craig, you guys are here, and I'm like, there's so much going on.
I'm listening to these spooky stories.
I know.
Because I'm apparently this is the spookiest floor, the seventh.
Yeah, the bathroom up there is supposed
cool.
to be. It's
great.
And you're all by your lonesome right
awesome.
Now.
Don't go to the bathroom.
I think the men's room is all right. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I think this is going to go down as one of my favorite shows I've ever done. We've whittled it down into three topics tonight. We've got the vice presidential debate wrap-up. Eric Elk has taken leave of us, and we, again, appreciate his input and conversation about the VP debate. We also have Dave Lundy and Ken Jakubowski, and they are talking about some numbers in the aftermath of the debate. We have Matt Fetterman, who has played some great music for us as well. I didn't mean if you want to play another song before we go tonight, we'd love to.
Anytime you'd like me to.
Oh, very cool. And he's been talking about the Highwood Pumpkin Festival, which kicks off officially on Thursday. There's a prelude all week. They're carving and stacking them up on their scaffoldings. And Scott Marcus, who is a filmmaker and ghost hunter and been telling some really creepy stories. We have a text from the 620, totally freaked out now. Thanks, Patty. You're welcome, Jerry.
Well, Jerry, so am I. I've got to walk to my car. So that means I got to walk down the lower Wacker, uh-huh, where it's kind of spooky. There's nobody down there.
Spooky
and walk about a block.
It's usually lovely this time of year.
Yeah.
Well, and the great. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. Yes.
Oh, I'll hold your hand, Ken. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe
Resurrection Mary will hold my hand.
I'm visualizing all of these storylines converging.
I think so somehow. Yes.
I think that Donald Trump is going to put a pumpkin on his head and run down the street and say he's elected president and scare everybody to death.
Wait, he already did that.
Oh, that's true.
That's what happened.
And Mike Pence, the way he acted tonight during the debate, he invented a running mate.
Yes.
One we didn't know, so maybe he was, channeling something else.
Well, speaking of that running mate, I heard on your station today that Trump is going to tweet tonight while watching his VP debate. Hadn't heard anything since. And I've been going through. I didn't see many tweets
from
Donald Trump.
There were quite a few. And some of them you can tell which ones are his staff,
mm-hmm, yeah,
or the staff standing over his shoulder and telling him what to type. And some of them are his own. And they're pretty he's out there.
Well, the Mike Pence won big. So proud of Mike. Yeah, that was written by staff.
huge.
Yeah, huge.
Cannot believe how often the moderator interrupts Pence versus the other guy. So obvious. Fox News.
No,
so true.
Let's
see. Kane is awful. Trump and Pence are the ticket. No more lies. We are ready to see America great again. Clinton's top aides mired. My favorite one, though. Clinton is weak on North Korea. But my favorite one, this one. Clinton's close ties to Putin deserve scrutiny. From Real Donald Trump in all caps.
What?
Says the I know you are, but what am I candidate? 2016.
Well, he was on a roll today because he gave a speech today. I think it was in Colorado. I'm not sure about the location. In which he blamed or laid at Hillary's feet. Said Hillary is the person to blame for me not paying income taxes all these years because she failed to take the loophole out of the tax code that I took advantage of. It's her fault, not mine.
I think they're going to rename jujitsu Trumpitsu.
Did you work on that one?
I actually just made that up right now.
I went Pence on you. That's
live on the Patty Vasquez Show.
So
Trumpitsu.
We've made a lot of fun of Tim Kaine tonight.
We haven't mentioned that Elaine Quijano is a Chicago native and went to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champain.
I actually thought she did well.
In a
difficult environment. So we've made a lot of fun of Tim Kaine. Here is a tweet from Montel Williams. You will remember him, the talk show host,
mm-hmm,
about Mr. Pence. He says, will the real Mike Pence please stand up? Don't be fooled by the Mr. Nice Guy. Then he says a word I'm not sure I can say on WGN AM.
It's 1:10 in the morning. You can say
it. Don't be fooled by the Mr. Nice Guy crap. He's an anti-LGBT fake Christian extremist. So that's Mr. Montel Williams' take.
Well, this is my point from earlier of where Tim Kaine missed the opportunity to define Mike Pence precisely that way.
Because I think Kaine coming in and interrupting him so much actually made him the jerk. Kaine looked like the jerk rather than allowing Pence to reveal himself in any way.
I feel compelled because I did this last week after the Trump debate when we all made fun of Donald Trump for all of his interruptions. I feel compelled to tell my kid's favorite knock knock joke again. Ken, work with me here. Knock knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
interrupting.
Move! That was Tim Kaine tonight.
He was. Yeah.
See,
was so
I am
annoying.
A bipartisan offender. I call
well,
it like I see it.
No, and Kaine did some mansplaining. Now, they're saying that Elaine Quijano tried to rein in the mansplaining, but I would say it came more from Kaine than it did from Pence, because he kept saying, now, this is important now.
Oh, boy.
Like, you hush down. You just be quiet. This is important now. I'm like, oh, I would have been across that table and just grabbed, like, do you see who's running the show?
Yeah, yes.
Well, no. And in case, I know a number of people, certainly people have asked me in the last couple of days, how is Hillary all of a sudden exploded in the polls? What's the reason for it? Three, what they're called, crosstabs in the polling industry, where you take a look at certain segments of a poll to get a better understanding of the overall result. Among white voters without college degrees, which has been one of Donald Trump's big blocks of voters.
It's his base.
In September, Hillary was at 24, Trump was at 68, and now in the latest CNN poll, which was out yesterday, Hillary's gone from 24 to 34, Trump from 68 to 55. So instead of a 44-point lead, it's 21. Yep, and that's a huge thing. Also amongst men, in September, Hillary was at 32, now she's at 40. Trump was at 54 in September, he's now at 45.
Okay.
Yeah, if Trump wins men by only 5 points, he's toast.
It's over. And all that just in the last week. That's amazing how it moved.
Well, a listener from the 815 says, a person or policies. How can voters vote for change of present policy without voting Republican and therefore Trump? Answer, you can't. Virtually no one likes Trump, but many want change of policy regarding immigration, health insurance, and becoming the welfare state to the world. Do you see the enigma?
Well, that's actually a great point, because historically, America does not like to give a president a second term, let alone a third term.
Right.
And you can certainly argue that this would be a third term. So historically, you could argue that Trump is underperforming where he should be, because the country is ready to go in a different direction and wants to go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And they are really struggling with it. So when Hillary asks the question, or people say, how come Hillary's not winning by more? Really, it's how come Trump isn't winning by more, because all history of the way this country tends to position itself with presidential elections is all pointed in the direction of Trump.
Well,
and the Republican Party.
But the things that people are most angry about, I mean, Obamacare is one thing, but a lot of the other issues that people are upset about, whether it's the economy, a lot of that has also been structured over the last 8 years by control of a Republican Congress. The legislation hasn't that been the case?
Well, for example, immigration reform. Mm-hmm. The Senate voted by like 77 to 20 in favor of comprehensive immigration reform that included border enforcement and included a path to citizenship. The House refused to take that measure up. Had that passed, this issue would likely be off the table at this point. But, you know, this is just a challenge for in our factless society these days. The tweet you just, or the comment
text.
You just read,
mm-hmm.
The text from the listener, you know, it's just not true. You know, we don't have open borders. We have net outflow of migrants, not in immigration. You know, the illegal migration issue has basically, right now, it's neutral.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that. And our economy has actually done really well. Last year, we had the highest growth of real incomes for ordinary people, or for everybody, than we've had ever in history. So, unfortunately, people don't feel that way.
And one of the things I was talking to my husband about this, and I don't know if I have the entire conversation well put yet, but I think part of it is that we consume different things now than we did 15 years ago, 10 years ago. We are nickel and dimed in different ways. So you can be making more and still have less, because you have your cell phone bills, you have your DirecTV, you have, you know, your satellite radio, and there are things that aren't being, you know, as deliberately financially responsible for, and feel like we don't have as much as we used to, because
would be excessive consumption on our part,
right?
You're right. I mean, when I was growing up, we didn't pay $200 a month for cable,
yes,
for example,
right?
But Mike Pence even tonight said this during the debate. He said, "Oh, you're just throwing numbers out there. I know how people feel."
Exactly, that's how they feel.
It's very frustrating, because there was a poll last week. And it found that Republicans or Trump voters believed that fact checkers were just partisan hacks by 88%. Trump voters believe that fact checkers don't do fact checking. Whereas Democrats and Clinton voters were like, yeah, fact checkers are mostly actually, I mean, still a third of them said that they were partisan hacks. And but I mean, this has been something that as a guy who, you know, makes his living off of argument and facts and data, I live for data. And the trends that we've had in our society are really troubling. Because if you can't agree on a certain basic set of facts, how do you argue what the best policy is?
Mm-hmm. Right. And where do you recommend people go to look for, I mean, what websites should they visit?
Well, that's a challenge because, you know, I can't say that every website is right every time.
All
they're
the,
not.
All the research.
You have to be discriminating. You have to look.
But and compare. I'll give you an example. Different sites.
Like, on Facebook. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, we see memes posted all the time. And people love to post quotes from like Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. So there was a quote last week from Hillary Clinton. And it was something like, you know, we need to move to world government or something. Well, obviously Hillary Clinton didn't say that, but it's in a meme, so it must be true. There's a quote mark around it, and there's somebody's name underneath. And people are posting this garbage, including my friend and compatriot, Chris Roebling, on WGN Radio, Touche, my other half of Touche. And they post it without verifying, without checking. I have a general rule on Facebook. I'm a very active Facebooker. I'm a very active tweeter. But I generally won't post something that come from obviously crazy left-wing sites or crazy right-wing sites.
Exactly.
Unless I could find some mainstream verification of it.
Right.
And even then you might not.
Same thing with Twitter.
I know a lot of people that it's hard to tell what is or is not a credible site. You know, you can dress up a website to make it look like actual credible news when if it's totally partisan information. Mm-hmm. And people, I feel like it's a generation, especially online, that it's a click generation. It's I'm just going to share before even reading. They're going to see the headline, see the meme and go, oh, yeah, I agree with that. They're not going to take the next two and three steps sometimes it takes to get the actual information. And that's, you know, it's kind of sad.
I think it was obvious.
I'll tell you, one of my favorite resources for fact checking, whether it comes to the paranormal world or the political world, is Snopes.
Snopes.
It's an urban legend based website that gets down to the core of where did this fallacy come from, and I love it. But I've actually been doing some political fact checking.
And yet, my right wing friends will all tell you that Snopes is just a left wing ploy.
Oh my God!
I swear to God, and I have friends who post this all the time. Whenever I post something on Snopes, like, oh, it's a Snopes ridiculous. It's a left wing. It's a George Soros thing, and I'm like, yeah, but can you deny any of the facts that
where they got their information from? It's right there.
I don't always agree with the interpretation of fact checkers because fact checkers, they're just journalists who have opinions. And sometimes they're saying, well, yeah, I know he said he was in favor of this, but I'm going to rate that mostly false. And you're like, what?
Right. Somewhat right.
But well, the facts are the facts. And you've got to just acknowledge that.
And I can tell you that, you know, just for anybody listening out there who is wondering, I'll save you the fact checking. I did not find anything that Tim Kaine said tonight in terms of the quotes for Donald Trump. I think he was exact in every single quote.
Except he said better when he meant stronger.
Correct. Correct. That was the only
on Trump's
terms of Putin.
There's a fact check that happens here.
Exactly. Right.
More better than.
And there is a difference between better and stronger. There certainly is a difference.
More. He said more of a leader. I think Trump had said he's more of a leader than Trump.
He said that Putin was a stronger leader. And Tim Kaine said he was a better leader.
I'm gonna check Snopes.
The exact. I have the exact quote. It was inarguable that Vladimir Putin has been a stronger leader in his country than Barack Obama has been in this country.
All right.
That was the quote.
That was Mike Pence, actually.
That was Mike Pence's.
Trump.
Right, and they.
Okay.
So Pence did not lie when he said, "I did not say that." He's right. He didn't. He said,
and
he's stronger,
even like
not
was
better.
And he was also saying it under. I didn't say better. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
That all happened.
A little picky.
I would have asked him. Well, could you tell us what you said? I mean, I'm not sure it would have sounded much.
Interrupting cow wouldn't have been able to say moo.
Yeah.
But it's difficult. You need to stay off social media in terms of you have to trust, but then you have to verify. And I would go to the major news organizations, go to their websites. They do a pretty good job. Avoid Breitbart. and I don't know what the corollary on the left
Daily
would be.
Coast.
And
the
just
Daily
hang out,
Coast.
Hang out with us. We'll have a conversation about it. That mm-hmm. and the, you know, and also pumpkins and ghost stories. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, surrounded by a bunch of friends. We have Dave Lundy, Ken Jacobowski, Scott Marcus, and Matt Fetterman. And we've been talking about the VP debate with Ken and Dave. Actually, we've all been talking about it, and we appreciate your texts and phone calls anytime. Any of these conversations, you're just more than welcome to join at 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. And Matt's got the big pumpkin festival starting on Thursday, but you can drive through Highwood. I'm guessing it's all that prep work looks amazing, too.
Prep work has started. We've got great lights up all over the place. People are carving pumpkins. Come on out. Give us a hand. All the 100% of the proceeds are going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is a very cool thing.
Nice.
We also want to mention that we do have a very cool 5K going on Saturday morning. you can register online, I believe, at HighwoodPumpkinFest.com right now.
Okay.
Or you can set up on-site at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. It's the Superman Sam Run. We encourage people. Superman Sam was a young student who lost his life to cancer a couple of years back. He was living up in Highland Park. So it's kind of in his honor that we do this run, and we encourage everyone to dress up as their favorite superhero and come out for the run. And your superhero can be Spider-Man, Wonder Woman. It can be your mom, your dad.
Oh, that's very cool.
Your older brother. So it's a really, really great event.
And there's live music the whole weekend?
Lots of live music all weekend long. We have two stages. We have a country night on the main stage on Friday night, and then lots of great bands. I'm playing on Saturday night. We've got Mr. Blotto on Sunday night. We've got Butterfly and Traffic on Sunday. We've got Kevin Purcell and the Nightburners on Saturday. The Saturday June Band on Saturday. You go to HighwoodPumpkinFest.com has all the whole schedule.
And speaking of live music, can we hear some more live music
after the news? Let's get another. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. After the news, let's get another song from Matt Fetterman.
I know a guy
with a guitar. Scott Marcus, filmmaker and ghost hunter. We have a text from a woman from the 773. Why do I keep saying woman? I don't know. I'm assuming. I'm assuming.
From a
listener in the 773. When my mom had cancer, I took a pic of her, and there were orbs all around her. I also noticed an orb floating away from her when I took a picture of that, The orb looked strange, so I zoomed in on it, and there was a face in the orb, but it didn't seem friendly. We thought the cancer was possibly attracting negative entities.
That's really fascinating. I'd love to see that photo. If you go to my website, whatsyourghoststory.com, there should be a contact link there. By the way, we're starting a newsletter, too, so you can get scary stuff in your inbox, too. But anyway, I'd love to see the photo. Orbs, yes. Orbs are very controversial, as we were talking a little bit about off the air, because so many things can appear as an orb, dust, even high humidity, smoke, all sorts of different debris in the air. And as these little bits of particulate move around, they're oddly shaped. So if you take one picture, there could be something there, and then it's gone by the next picture, just because light isn't hitting it the same way. However, that said, when people do get very towards the end, we've heard all sorts of anecdotal stories about loved ones that have already passed over coming to help with that transition.
Okay.
So maybe that was something there. I'm going to lean more towards a positive than a negative, even if maybe you caught a former loved one in the middle of a sneeze or something. Hopefully there's not a malicious, a negative something there. But more likely than not, I would guess, not being there myself, that it would be other loved ones helping kind of comfort and help the soul get to the next level when the soul's ready to go.
I'm just getting more and more creeped out.
Hey, that was a nice one.
This is really creeping me out.
Why are you getting creeped out by the being escorted into the next plane?
All this stuff. I don't know.
It's stuff you don't think about in your daily life, you know, most people.
Did you not do ghost stories around a campfire when you were a kid?
It used to creep me out.
Yeah. Seances. I had a Ouija board. I actually still have a Ouija board, actually.
That's wild. And speaking of our fear of walking back alone to our cars now, that's how it all started for me. Back when I was 18, we're telling ghost stories up in the suburbs. We were, 18. We couldn't go out drinking or anything like that, so there's nothing to do up there. And we had just terrified ourselves so much that by the time it was time for us to go, I was giving two other friends a ride home, And nobody wanted to be the one person sitting in the back seat alone.
Oh, no.
So we all just wedged ourselves up front, fogging up the front window.
Just cuddling together in the front seat. We are taking any of your thoughts and ghost stories tonight, Don Prelate with Patty Vasquez. And I hope that KJ can hold on the line because we had to take a break and do some news. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Dave Lundy, Ken Jakubowski. Gosh, I'm going to get it consistently.
So close to getting it right for one full hour.
I know. It's 3 hours. It's a problem. No, I'm so glad you guys are hanging out with us. We also have Matt Fetterman, who's going to play another song for us in just a moment. And joining us is Scott Marcus, a filmmaker and ghost hunter. And we have KJ, who's on the line, who has waited patiently through the news. Hey, KJ, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. You know, it's you know how when they people say that when someone passes away and you have to go to the cemetery, I want to start this out because there were a couple things that happened.
Okay.
But after my sister and I picked out, you know, where we were going to bury her and everything, it was a cloudy day. But once we made the arrangements, the sun came out.
Ooh. Wow.
I mean, I've heard this story before, so, you know, where people, you know, it's almost like saying, okay, but... That happened on a Thursday, but a Friday, we lived together, and my sister came over that night to get things because I was going to have company come for the weekend and for burial. And she was in the bedroom cleaning, and I was in the dining room cleaning, and I sprayed the dining room table, and all of a sudden, I called my sister. I said, come here. The spray went into a heart.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Now, isn't that kind of scary?
Well, I mean, again,
sweet.
It's a very nice. So, yeah, first off, I do like to tell people that most likely if you're going to have some sort of a what we call a paranormal encounter, it will be what I call a visitation haunting. It's someone that is close to you, was close to you in life, who is now passed on, and they're touching base to let them know that they're okay or they're still with you, something kind of heartwarming like that. And there's a lot of different cultures, both Eastern and, you know, Latin America. A lot of cultures believe that once someone passes on, they're still on this earth with us for at least the next 7 to 10 days because they're still transitioning themselves. So,
well, Ken, I just wanted to ask you something because everyone thinks I'm crazy.
Aww.
I've even talked to a minister and my doctor, and he said, oh, well, you dreamt it. Several months before my mother passed away, she was in the other bedroom. I mean, we had our separate bedrooms. And I woke up, and there was a figure outside my door. And this person was a male, and the light was bright. And he was standing he was in a gray sweatsuit. He didn't say a word, and I couldn't get out of bed. I was frozen, and I just remember I couldn't open my mouth, but I heard myself say, what do you want? He kept smiling at me, and then I must have gone back to sleep, and he was gone. So I don't know if that was a premonition that my mother was going to, you know, pass on.
Well, you said it was near the end for your mom at that time, right?
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, I don't really know. It would have been interesting to see. I mean, did your mom ever talk about anyone coming to visit her as well towards the end?
No, she never. She never did, and she was in the hospital a couple months, and then when they said that she was going, she was only in hospice for a day, and she passed away. But it was kind of scary, and I asked, and someone said to me, you know, you have an angel, you know, you don't know it, but we all have a guardian angel on our shoulder, and so I was just wondering if that was like a prep, you know, a sign of some sort that maybe this person was trying to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think you know, as we always talk about the veil between the two worlds getting thin as someone gets close to the end. I can't say premonition, and I think it would have been interesting if your mom had seen this person because it might be someone that she recognized, you know, perhaps even from her youth or something that had passed on. So again, maybe
it was scary. Believe me, and you know, as I asked
well, because it was an unfamiliar face to you, but
right.
If it was not to her, it wouldn't have been scary,
right?
Right, but you know, you know, it was a long time ago, but I live across from a cemetery and people are saying,
sure.
Well, maybe they're coming to visit you.
Yeah, it's a lot of energy there, I'll bet.
Could it be? I mean, could it be, you know, because I'm across the street from the cemetery?
Well, Yeah, I mean, that, as I was just saying, actually, that we believe that people still kind of hang out about a week or more after death, it would make sense that there could be some sightings around a cemetery, sure.
Oh, dear. Thank you. I gotta move.
No, KJ, you got a lot of great stories to tell people.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, my one friend believes me. She said, well, you know, maybe. And the doctor says, oh, you were dreaming. I said, no, I can, you know, it's funny. I didn't recognize that person at all. So who knows? But he's never visited
exactly.
me again.
Well, that's good.
Wow.
Anyway, thank you so much and have a nice evening.
Thank you, KJ.
Yes.
Bye.
Jeff, as we're having this discussion, ABC News about 10 minutes ago tweeted an image. It's a satellite image of Hurricane Matthew that made landfall today over Haiti. Mm. The satellite image of the hurricane looks like a grinning skull.
No.
So go to the ABC ABC News website and take a look.
It does.
Take a look at this. This will they're all looking at it in the studio and they're all reacting to it.
Take a look at the screen.
Take a look at it. Go to ABC News and either their Twitter page or to their website. You'll see what we're talking about.
Let's take one more creepy ghost story, and then we've got to get some music from Matt Fetterman. I've got some more stories in the text as well, and I might have to send Scott into the producer's booth to take a look at an orb that someone has sent in the text screen. Hey, Lee, how are you doing?
Okay, I was just telling him I was sitting in my mother's darkened hospital room. She was dying, and I looked over. I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and in the doorway I saw a short, really heavy-set nurse, what I thought was a nurse, standing there. She had kind of an apron uniform and a funny little hat on. I didn't pay much attention, and about 5 minutes later, in the shadow of the nightlight in the bathroom, I looked up. And my grandfather was standing there. I mean, dressed like he always was, in his black pants and his rolled up shirt, you know, shirt sleeves rolled up on a white shirt. And then it dawned on me. So I went over to the nurse's station and I said, where is that short little fat nurse you had here with the kind of funny apron uniform? And she said, we don't have anybody on duty like that. And it dawned on me, it was my grandmother. And the reason I didn't even think about it was the last 10 years of my grandmother's life, she was in a wheelchair. So it never occurred to me, and my mother died a day later.
Wow. Oh, give me chills.
These are beautiful stories that are coming in, and I like that we're not just getting terrifying, scary stories, because most of the time a paranormal experience will, I would say, usually be, it's going to be weird because it's not normal life to us all, but it's also not a horror story, you know.
Well, I actually have a story.
I never told anybody this because I thought my family's going to think I'm nuts.
Oh, no. Share that, because who knows? Maybe they are sitting on a story like that, too, and they're afraid to tell you about it.
Well, you know, another thing, too, is when Mom was passing, she waved her arm. She put her arm up like she was waving at somebody.
Oh, I bet she was.
So sweet. Oh, thank you, Lee. Yeah, I think Scott's right. You should share that with other people in your family so that maybe they've got stories, too.
Love your show.
Thank you, Lee.
You'll keep me up too late because I can't think of everything.
I think a lot of people are staying up late tonight with the ghost stories and the debate. Thank you, Lee. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, Lee just reminded me of something that actually happened in my life. There was a Sunday morning. I used to always skip church on Sundays, and I would go and drive and buy the New York Times somewhere and read it in the car and then stop on the way home and pick up the program for the Mass so it looked like I actually went to church. And on this Sunday, and that's what I was going to do again on this Sunday. I remember I had my dad's car, beautiful summer day. I suddenly felt this sense that I needed to go see my grandmother. Now, I never went to see my grandmother. Yeah. And I turned around, drove to my grandmother, spent a wonderful 2 hours with her. She died the next day.
Wow.
And I found her dead the next day.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you found her.
I found her dead. Yep.
Oh.
Wow. And how amazing. How wonderful.
We had an amazing 2-hour conversation in which she told me, I'm not going to be around much longer. You know, and she was commenting on things that she was hoping for me in the future. And I said, Grandma, you're perfectly healthy. You're going to be living a long time. Next morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, I got the call.
Wow.
That's incredible. That's again a great, beautiful story.
It was. I guess it's hit me too.
Somebody on the other side was giving you this impression that, that fortunately you didn't ignore it.
No, that was.
Yeah, no, it's good. That's the thing. Listen to those little voices. I think that's something that's important to take away from this. Matt, do you have your Facebook Live running right now?
I am rocking some Facebook Live.
Yeah. Go to Matt Fetterman on Facebook. You can watch him playing live in the Allstate Showcase studio. He's going to be headlining on Saturday night, 8 o'clock at the Highwood Pumpkin Festival. Go to HighwoodPumpkinFestival.com for all the information. But right now, here he is playing live, Billionaire's Democracy.
Through some philanthropic pitch, but don't kid yourself, learning is a business for the rich. It's not a racial extrication or some erotic disease. It's not middle class lack of patience or some erotic disease. It's a get paid. It's a billionaire's democracy. It's the new golden age of that old masquerade. Well, you settle down and find a home with your family, you feel blessed. You work your job and pay your bills, but to them you're second best. You strap a deed across your back as life was to begin. But that picket fence around your house is barbed wire and keeps you in. It's not racial extrication, this moral crisis we see. It's not middle class lack of patience or some erotic. Get paid. It's a billionaire's democracy. It's the new golden age of that old masquerade. Well, 1% of the nation that owns 40 of the wealth, head corporate entities that profit off your poor health. Say you want a leader that is finally on your page. You better run for yourself because they're mostly corporate paid. It's not racial extrication, this moral crisis we see. It's not middle class lack of patience or some erotic disease. It's a billionaire's democracy, as if it makes you rage, and they all get paid. It's a billionaire's democracy, it's the new golden age of that old masquerade. It's a billionaire's democracy.
That's Matt Fetterman with Billionaire's Democracy. You know what I love is that he lets me know when he's done. There have been times when someone will have like a fake end, like a false end.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I wasn't done.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'll start applauding and they're like, we weren't done. Fleeting Sons was the first group I did that to. Do you know them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so talented. A lot of great musicians have been in the studio, and we're so thrilled to have Matt Fetterman tonight. He'll be headlining on Saturday at 8 o'clock at the Highwood Pumpkin Festival. Go to HighwoodPumpkinFestival.com for more information. And don't forget, Scott Marcus is going to be at the Willowbrook ballroom on Archer Avenue. I got all nervous because Resurrection Mary hangs out. And where can people find out information about the Ghost Conference?
ChicagoHauntings.com. You can just do a search for Chicago Ghost Con, though. You'll find it.
And also go to whatsyourghoststory.com.
Yes. And I do want to say, I want to give a shout out to Craig, who was a very good sport the night we investigated, because he's not a believer.
No.
And we kept him up till four or more in the morning.
We were here forever. Yes, we were.
So I appreciate him playing along with us.
Yes,
that was no problem. It was a lot of fun to not find any ghosts anywhere.
There we go.
Come on, Craig.
I just threw you an olive branch.
No, I'm sorry. I really apologize.
There were some questionable moments, Craig.
Sure. There was some breezes and some other stuff that happened.
Wasn't it the bathroom in the editorial board?
Exactly.
That's what it was. The bathroom. Somebody was having...
Rick had an EMF detector alarm, so he had some sort of an energy spike, which we couldn't account for, and then cold rush, and then some minor sounds that we picked up. But we obviously don't know exactly what we're coming in contact with. But it's such an interesting location.
Do you remember how much the security guards did not want to hang out with us?
As I talked about it in the video that I posted, again, on whatsyourghoststory.com, we loved it because, 24th floor?
Yes.
Like, you guys got to come up here. There's got to be ghosts up here.
In the stairwell.
Have fun.
Yeah, they were like, good luck with that.
They brought us up, and we're going to ask them another question, turned around, and they were already vacated
the floor. They did not want to talk about the ghosts and the sounds that they hear in the building. More after this on 720 WGN. Tell me something good in just a few seconds. Tell me something good. You're listening pretty late. Tell me something good. Let's go around the horn while my guest might have something good to tell us. I'll tell you my something good. This was so much fun having you guys in studio. And I also want to thank Eric Elk, who was here earlier, our political strategist who joined the conversation about the VP debate. And it was as much as I didn't like the debate, I enjoyed the wrap-up conversation with you guys. So
we were way more interested.
It was. Oh, and before I forget it, we also had a texter who had called earlier from the 630. Wanted to say that we all have so much more to say than a short phone call, and I appreciate that. It's hard to get everything you want out there. For one, I am 70 years old. I have a high school education, but not college. Just like my husband, we are very informed on politics. If you are interested in it and pay attention, you can learn much. You don't have to have a college degree to actually be intelligent on any issue. And this is something you talked about when it came to Gary Johnson, is being intellectually curious.
That's it. Mm-hmm. It's not about education. It's about intellectual curiosity. Mm-hmm. I've known a number of people, including people who are in elected office, that people assume they have college degrees and graduate degrees, mm-hmm. who just graduated high school, but they're deeply intellectually curious, self-taught on a lot of things, mm-hmm. and that's really all it takes.
And this listener says you have to be interested and engaged, and I think that that's important.
And discerning.
Discerning, yeah. Yes. Don't take everything
I'm
at face value. Which means don't take everything at face value.
Exactly.
I think. Let me look it up. Hold on a second. Dave, you want to tell us something good?
You know, my something good is, my 11-year-old son, I talk about him from time to time. I'm very proud of him. He came to, I host this political lunch once a month, and he came on Friday, and in front of a room full of 60 grown-ups, extremely opinionated grown-ups, he just got up there. He offered some really smart comments.
What?
And everybody's blown away by this kid, not just because he's willing to just get up there and doesn't notice that the biggest fear we have is speaking in front of crowds.
Yeah.
No, he just got up there, did it, and what he said was really smart. And everybody was like, wow. And so I was kvelling. The Yiddish expression is kvelling. So I was kvelling over my 11-year-old Eli.
I love that one. Before we get to the rest of my guests, I want to make sure our listeners can join us as well. Hey, Pete, tell us something good.
Well, it's you were talking about carving pumpkins and such much earlier. I caught just the tail end of that.
Uh-huh.
And last year, on the Wednesday, Halloween fell on the weekend, and on the Wednesday before, I brought home from my chiropractor's office a 60-pound pumpkin that I won by guessing the weight.
And how? It was a 60-pound pumpkin?
Yes. about 2 feet tall. And it measured 45 inches around. I know, because I fitted it with jeans. Because when I first saw it, I said, Minion.
Oh, that's spectacular. Wow. How long did that pumpkin last?
It lasted a week.
Oh.
I actually took it back over to the doctor's office after the weekend, and they had it there for a couple days, and then it started getting a little funky. And
sure.
I brought them home and took them apart. Now I just got to find another monster pumpkin.
Yeah, no kidding. Get you a 60-pounder.
Yeah, I got all those parts, the arms, the legs, the guitar.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
The mat. Did you have, they were going to print a picture for you. I don't know if you've seen it
yet. Yeah, Craig's got the photo. We'll take a look at that. I will take a look before we go tonight. Thank you so much.
But yeah, that was, I'm just hoping to be able to set Stuart out again.
Yeah. Well, we wish you the best of luck on that. Have a great night, Pete. Thank you. Before we go, I want to make sure Ken's got his something good.
Well, it was not, I didn't, you know, miss the fact that the pumpkin came from his chiropractor.
I know.
60
I
pound.
I was going to say, pick it up. I know.
Really smart.
I believe they call that business development.
Absolutely great business development. And then he carried it back to the chiropractor. Yes. Right. Exactly what the chiropractor probably wanted him to do. Now, hey, great time of the year. The weather is turning.
Isn't it gorgeous?
It's baseball playoffs. There's nothing better.
Thank you. Wow. By the way, here's Pete's massive pumpkin, a 60-pound pumpkin.
Go Cubs.
Oh, my gosh.
Carved as a Go Cubs.
The chiropractor was on to something.
Scott, before That's we awesome. Go, you're something good?
Being in this field, working in the strange world of the paranormal has allowed me to do so many great things. But one of the best things happened this past April, where I've done a lot of research with the Robinson Woods Indian Burial Ground.
Ooh.
A graveyard that has been really decimated. But we recovered a lot of stolen and lost gravestones from the 1800s and returned them to the family this past April, which is
that's
huge.
Tremendous.
Oh, that's awesome.
So Dan Malone is the archaeologist that I work with on that one. I want to give him that shout out.
And don't forget to go see Scott this weekend at the Willowbrook Ballroom and go to the Ghost Hunters conference, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. All things paranormal.
All things paranormal. And Matt, do you want to tell us something good? Happy birthday, by the way. It was your birthday.
Yeah, my birthday yesterday, 40 years old, or young, I should say. Something good. I would say intelligent conversation that we've had here today.
Hey!
Yeah. You know, open conversation with smart people or intelligent people who do their own due diligence and research. It's just great.
It was a fun night.
It was a fun night.